This is Talking Asset Management with KPMG, and today's episode is about valuation for credit lenders.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Talking Asset Management with KPMG. I'm Scott Woods, partner and one of the credit tax leaders here at the firm. Today, we're continuing our series on credit funds. We're going to talk about valuation and the associated tax issues for credit lenders. Joining me is Brian Bouchard, partner in our valuation practice. Brian, welcome, and thanks for coming in today.
Hello, thank you for having me.
In prior podcasts, we've discussed the U.S. tax consequences of loan origination and the structuring opportunities funds use when originating loans, including the so-called season and sell structures. These strategies include transactions between parties who are directly related or affiliated in some manner. As such, one of the key components of achieving the goals of season and sell structure is to ensure the originated debt is sold at fair market value at the time of the secondary sale transaction. So today, I've included Brian here to discuss these valuations as well as the current trends and economic environment impacting the fair market value of debt instruments. Okay, Brian, let's start off with the basics. How does the IRS define value?
Sure, Scott. So the standard of value for tax purposes is fair market value, as you mentioned. And that's defined under IRC Revenue Ruling 59-60 as the price at which a subject property would change hands between a willing buyer and a willing seller when the former is under no compulsion to buy and the latter is under no compulsion to sell, and both parties have reasonable knowledge of the facts. So you contrast this with, say, the financial reporting definition of value, which is fair value. Very similar, slightly different, slightly nuanced.
So that's interesting. In that definition, you didn't say anything about par or original issue price or book carrying value with accrued interest. So obviously those may play a role in determining fair market value, but not definitive. So what are the challenges in determining fair market value of debt instruments specifically?
Sure. So some people assume that just because a company is performing on its principal and interest, it's current on its principal and interest, or that the enterprise value of the company is sufficient to cover all the outstanding debt, they assume that maybe the debt is valued at par. That's a common misperception in the marketplace. But really, when you have an issuance or you have a transaction, and that transaction, as I mentioned, is between willing buyer and willing seller, and though each party is not under any type of compulsion to act, then at that very moment in time, that transaction price or issuance price represents fair market value. As time elapses from that transaction date, one of two things or both things can occur here that can impact and ultimately change the fair market value, right, from the issuance or transaction price. And that is one, the change in the credit profile of the issuer. So if the company's financial performance is improved or declined, or if a company's leverage ratios have gone up or down, you know, those types of things can impact valuation. The second thing, and or, is that the market may change its appetite for a certain credit risk. And when I talk about the market, I'm talking about the public markets, you know, observable transactions for similarly situated debt instruments and similar credit profiles in the marketplace. So clearly, you know, the private market in public markets have some level of correlation. Maybe they're not 100% correlated. There's a debate there, but there's some level of correlation. And you really have to think about how that market participant or how the market is pricing in credit risk for a given credit profile and how that's changed since the transaction.
Sure. So maybe just an example, common season and sell arrangement. Let's say the originator issues at 97 and then sells over at 90 days later. Are there distinguishing factors that could lead to a range between 97 and 100? And what might a fund need to demonstrate to suggest a value closer to 97 than 100?
Right. So those two factors that I mentioned really come into play here. You know, the credit profile, the issuer, and the market's appetite for credit risk. So theoretically, if you issue at 97 and nothing changes, the credit profile, the issuer does not change at all, and the market's credit appetite for credit risk doesn't change at all 90 days later, then theoretically, your fair market value should be closer to the 97. If the credit profile of the issuer improves, or let's say the marketplace is tighter credit spreads for a given credit profile in the marketplace, we're observing credit spreads come in since that transaction or that issuance date, then theoretically, you could have a fair market value that's higher than 97 and approaches that par amount. But again, it really comes down to those two factors.
So you talk a lot about the credit market environment. Tell me a little bit more about what is today's credit market environment like?
Sure. So we've really seen historic tightening right now by the Federal Reserve, and that's led to deteriorating credit metrics for borrowers. The marketplace is kind of is looking at increased expectations around default. Issuance volume is down in 2023, and market volatility is up. Really, volatility is at the highest we've seen for the most part since the financial crisis of 2007 and 2008. So it's really important to kind of factor in this volatility and company performance into the fair market value process.
Sure. And so obviously it's really important to get these valuations correct. And almost equally important, though, is documenting how you come up with these valuations, right? As you know, the IRS is auditing funds in this space and do ask for any documentation on how these valuations are determined. Not sure if you have any thoughts on that or seen these situations, but it appears to be better to have documentation than to not have any.
Right. And documentation, as you mentioned, Scott, is absolutely critical here. You want to have the proper level of support and documentation behind your fair market value analysis. So things like the types of methodologies you considered and why you chose to utilize those methodologies or why you chose not to, right? So at its highest level, there's an income approach, a market approach, and a cost approach, right? In many instances, performing debt is valued under the market approach. So you really want to document your thought process around the methodology. And then when it comes to your assumptions, you want to document your thought process there as well. So a key assumption in the valuation of debt is the right credit spread that you use in the discount rate. And so you really want to document your thought process around that, because if you do a buildup of a discount rate, right, there's factors like the risk-free rate, which is very observable, but it's that implied credit spread that you need to document in terms of how you thought through that and why you chose the credit spread that you chose.
Excellent. No, good points. You know, so obviously, you know, the credit valuation is important in the context of season and sell, but what valuation is important in other contexts as well? Can you talk about those?
Sure. So we provide valuations, you know, for various purposes, right? Tax can be a driver, financial reporting can be a driver, or types of valuations to support transactions on a consulting basis. So in many cases, we are engaged actually on the financial reporting front, where debt fund managers need a valuation quarterly to market for financial and investor reporting purposes at the fund level. So oftentimes there's a need for our services there, and we provide a lot of help. And critical to that is exactly what you talked about around documentation and all those key elements that I described, that we prepare that in a report for our clients.
Well, Brian, this has been great. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us on valuation and what you're seeing today. And thank you, audience, for listening. And we definitely want to hear from you. If you have any questions about this topic or anything else, please reach out to me, Brian, or any of your KPMG contacts.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks for listening to Talking Asset Management with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series and visit read.kpmg.us/talking-asset-management for more information.